It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
The president was talking again. He said he's holding off on a military strike on Iran planned for today because, quote-unquote, serious negotiations are underway to end the war. Stop. Trump made the announcement in a social media post on Monday. Of course he did, after threatening over the weekend that time was running out for Iran to strike a deal or fighting would renew. Last week, he said a fragile ceasefire was on life support and U.S. forces exchanged fire with Iranian forces. He is the ultimate boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay down all these deadlines and then I'll back off them right away. The president, who had not previously disclosed that he was planning for a strike on Tuesday, which means it came as a surprise to everybody, did not offer details about the planned attack in his Monday post, of course not, but said he instructed the U.S. military, quote, to be prepared to go forward with a full large-scale assault on Iran on a moment's notice. Yeah, doofus, they're deployed. They're always, right, since you sent them there, they have been prepared for an assault nonstop. That's what they do. That's their job. They're really, really good at it. Trump's been threatening for weeks that the ceasefire struck in mid-April could end if Iran did not strike a deal, with shifting parameters for striking such an agreement. Over the weekend, he warned, quote, for Iran, the clock is ticking. They better get moving fast or there won't be anything left of them. How dignified and presidential, sir, to go on social media and try to be a diplomat that way. He said he was calling off the planned strike at the request of allies in the Middle East, including the leaders of Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. He has repeatedly set deadlines for Iran and then backed off, but he's also in the past indicated he would hold off on military action to allow the talks to continue, only then to turn around and launch strikes. So, once again, do they all think we're stupid and don't remember? Yes, they do. They think we don't care. So in recent days, Trump's spoken with Benjamin Netanyahu and Chinese President Xi Jinping about the Iran war. And of course, his post caused oil to fall, the price of oil to fall, which had been rising with the prospect of a prolonged standoff. Stop, oil markets. Why are you doing this? Why do you jump at every little thing he says? He woke up yesterday and went, I should probably... I feel it in my gut. I need to send a threatening text.
Well, new polls came out that showed people were even uneasier than a month ago about gas prices and the economy. And so he had to do something to combat that. So with diplomacy by a tweet, he was able to lower the oil prices once again.
Is he that dumb? It's not changing. The gas is still going to be the same price.
Short-term gratification, right? Like
it's,
that's
because it's all the stock market for his billionaires, and he's probably telling people. And I'm sure this is going to come out. I'm assuming this. This is not fact. This is my opinion. But every time he does that, somebody's making money in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I'll just leave it there. Somebody's making money on these haphazard tweets that he puts out that everybody seems to be surprised about. Oh, we were doing an attack on Tuesday. What?
It's a benefit to the inner circle, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's what this administration has done. Everything is to benefit the inner circle and the people who donate to this particular president and the Republican Party. That's what this is about. It doesn't matter about the kitchen table economics for you and me. That's not what this is about. They don't care that we can't afford gas or groceries or electricity bills or healthcare, home prices, whatever. The list goes on and on. They don't care about that. They only care about their own stock portfolios and getting richer. Why the rest of us try to figure out how we're going to make ends meet on a daily basis. That's what
he said it last week. He doesn't think about anybody else. So if they tell you what they are, believe them. What else do we need to know this morning, Jamie?
Well, we're going to bring it closer to home because the Wisconsin Elections Commission turns out they were wrong to order Madison to remove 23 late arriving absentee ballots from its count. That's according to a Dane County judge and a ruling that was made last Thursday. ordering the city to count these 23 ballots in the soon-to-be-certified Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The ruling comes in response to a lawsuit that was brought by two of those 23 voters who alleged that the Wisconsin Elections Commission unconstitutionally ordered Madison not to count the ballots. We talked about that, right? When this happened, yep, and this case came to light, we were like, hey, what about the voters? Well, it turns out that the absentee ballots at issue arrived at the polls after 8 p.m., if you remember the backstory.
Yeah, just a couple of minutes after 8 p.m.
It was.
Literally.
And it was a delay that city officials say was caused by election administrator error. State law requires that absentee ballots, quote, be delivered to the polling place no later than 8 p.m. on election day. Now, this lawsuit alleged that it would be illegal to disenfranchise properly cast votes over election officials' errors. I kind of agree with that, right? Voters who comply with every element that is required for them to vote, a special absentee vote, and then not being allowed to have the votes count is contrary to what good law in Wisconsin has been. That is a statement by Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, and that was the statement from the bench. The ruling came after an hour-long back and forth between attorneys for the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the plaintiffs over the rights of voters when election officials commit errors. Now, in briefs and in court, lawyers for Law Forward, who represented the plaintiffs, referenced several past rulings in the state that they say established a long-running precedent that voters can't be deprived of their constitutional voting rights due to election officials' errors. Now, in ordering Wisconsin, or Madison, I should say, in Dane County not to count the ballots weeks after the election, the Wisconsin Elections Commission argued that state law simply doesn't permit late arriving ballots to count, even as some commissioners expressed ambivalence about that rule and reluctance about disenfranchising voters in the process. Now, it does remain at this point unclear why there was a delay between the ballot's arrival at the election office and their delivery to the precincts for counting. I mean, this
slow line at Culver's drive-thru. I thought he had some more time when he was driving over.
Right.
Got to get a Butterburger.
I had no idea that custard was going to take so long. Should have just ordered the vanilla, not the flavor of the day. But, I mean, I think this is going to be an interesting conversation in Wisconsin because yesterday, if you listen to the show, and again, civicmedia.us or Spotify to hear back past episodes, we talked about the new lawsuit brought by the League of Women Voters because in this state, even though there is a statute, I think it's ridiculous that election commissioners can basically choose to treat these absentee ballots however they want, right?
Yeah,
if they want to notify someone that there isn't something right, they can. If they don't want to, they can call them, they can email them. I mean, it's really about consistency for the voting process at this point.
And I know this suit was brought by Law Forward, which champions a lot of very conservative causes. And it was also said that none of these votes would change any of the results,
right.
But this will go for everybody.
Yes.
So I applaud this, and it is the right decision. It wasn't those voters' faults. And if you're a Democrat and you're like, no, they shouldn't count those, well, think about if it was on the other foot.
Right.
If a Democratic law firm had brought this case, it doesn't matter who brought the case. The case is valid and it makes sense. If the election officials screw up for whatever reason,
yeah,
you can't. That's not my fault. I did what you told me to do.
And
my vote should count.
And I think it, no matter how you vote, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or an independent, I mean, if two voters make the exact same mistake, right, but only one gets notified and it gets allowed to be fixed, or one vote gets counted in one county but not in another, that's not a level playing field for elections. It's
right.
Just not. And so when people start to feel like the rules aren't the same for everyone, that's when the confidence in the election process starts to erode, and we don't need any more help in that process. This administration has done plenty since 2020 to make sure that we feel disenfranchised as voters. So whatever we can do to make it better, especially in a swing state like Wisconsin.
Very good. All right. One more thing we need to know. A Minnesota county prosecutor yesterday announced charges against an immigration and customs enforcement officer in the non-fatal shooting of a Venezuelan man during the Trump administration's crackdown in the state. The officer, Christian Castro, is charged with four counts of second-degree assault and one count of falsely reporting a crime in the January 14th shooting of Julio Cesar Sosa Celis. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty said at a news conference, a warrant has been issued for his arrest. She said Mr. Castro is an ICE agent, but his federal badge does not make him immune from state charges for his criminal conduct in Minnesota. There is no such thing as absolute immunity for federal officers who commit crimes in this state or any other. Yay. Castro, he's 52. He fired through a home's front door and shot Sosa Celis in the thigh after Castro and another officer chased a different man, Alfredo Alejandro Ayorna, to a Minneapolis apartment duplex where he said Sosa Celis lived. That, according to Moriarty, she noted that both Sosa Celis and Ayorna were legally in the U.S. Oh, then what had they done wrong? Oh, I know. They went outside as brown people. Federal authorities initially accused Sosa Celis and Ayorna of beating an officer with a broom handle and a snow shovel during the confrontation. A federal judge dismissed those charges, and ICE and the Justice Department opened a joint investigation into whether two immigration officers lied about what had happened. Oh, my goodness. Minnesota leaders in the Trump administration have clashed over who has the authority to investigate and prosecute federal officers for on-duty conduct, with the administration suggesting that state officials don't have jurisdiction, to which Minnesota said, oh, really? Let's see about that. So good for Minnesota.
Right? Federal badges doesn't mean you just are immune from everything.
No, the only one with blanket immunity from everything is the president. We know that because the Supreme Court let him have it.
Yeah. So,
but ICE officers don't, but presidents have it. Unlimited immunity from everything.
I hope that the people who championed that realize that that now stands for every president, right? Like, I know this is besides the point.
Not if there is no other president, Jamie.
But good for Minnesota. I'm just going to ignore that comment because I don't even want to pretend that that's a conversation today.
Well,
but I mean,
listen,
good for
sometimes
Minnesota.
What's said in jest. Yes. Has a deep seed of reality.
Yes, it does. No, I agree. But I love that Minnesota is actually doing this, right? They're actually doing the prosecuting, and that's the good news for all of us.